Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Rochester. Yes, it's another Saturday, gorgeous time in this city. And yes, you are listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dan Deary.
And yes, we're here to answer your computer questions and take questions, make stuff up if we don't know it. You know, we'll kind of do it any which way we can. But just to let you know, Rob gave us permission. We can give away some tickets.
All right.
So, all right. Here's what's going to be the deal, folks. You're going to have to listen for us to tell you when to call. But I can tell you this. We are going to be giving away tickets throughout the 2 hours. Because he left us a bunch of blank paper and said, well, if you want to hand some out, I figure, what the heck? We're in a giving mood. Let's go wild with it.
Yep.
You know, and we'll hand tickets out, so you got to listen. We'll tell you certain times during the next 2 hours when to call to grab. Yeah, we're even going to give away some 4-packs of tickets because I know some folks there on the forums have been asking, you know, what about some 4-packs? Well, you ask, we're going to deliver it. So stay tuned. But again, go ahead and dial us up if you have a computer question. And Steve, so I saw Nick's got there an interesting poll for this week's show.
Yeah, the news in this week's poll. According to, well, let me just read what Nick wrote because he's such a good writer.
Yeah,
we hate him.
Again, he is off probably 6 steps ahead of the law, but this time he's not at the Genesee waiting to cross. I can promise you folks that.
Yep. Okay, be honest. Have you ever responded to a spam email? Do you know anyone that has? If you're like most of us, you can't fathom why anyone would respond to most of the messages we get. But a new study released by the Messaging Anti-Abuse Workshop Group, so that's M-A-A-W-G, MAWG.
MAWG?
MAWG. A new study shows that there are just enough people responding to spam to make it worthwhile, especially since most spam these days is sent by botnets. According to the group's latest report, a disturbing number of email users respond to spam. Up to 12% of email users have actually tried to buy stuff from spam.
That's scary.
Not because they're dumb. Some of them just didn't know it was junk. They were actually interested in the product or service. So this messaging anti-abuse working group conducted 800 interviews by phone and by internet across the U.S. With people who had email addresses not managed by corporate IT staff. So if you have an IT department in a business, your spam is probably being filtered by then. It found that 2/3 of the group interviewed said that they were very or somewhat inexperienced with internet two-thirds were experienced with internet security, and a majority used filters of some kind. 82% were aware of bots and botnets, though not many believe they were at risk of being victimized by one. Slightly less than half, 48%, said they have never clicked on a spam email, and that's good news. But that means that slightly more than half of the people have clicked on and responded to a spam, and the answers will horrify you. A full 12% said they were interested in the product or service being offered. Erection drugs, mail order brides, and those ads do reach people who are apparently interested in those types of things. 17% said that they made a mistake when they did so. Understandable, you know, you didn't really mean to reply to it. But they found 13% said they had no idea why they did it, they just did. And 6% said they wanted to see what would happen. So wow. Now you get inundated by even more spam. And if you give them your credit card number, you're really in trouble. So that brings us to our poll this week. Have you ever responded to a spam email? And the choices we have are yes, to get off their mailing list, yes, to buy some wonderful products, no, and I never get spam. What is this? And let's see, I have to vote before I can see our totals here. So right now we have 48 people responding. So far, 83% of people have said no. 10% of people said they have responded to spam to get off the mailing list. Never do that. All that does is prove that you're a live person who reads the mail. They will put you on more and more mailing lists. They may take you off of that one specific list, because that is the law, but they will put you on thousands of more lists because they know you're a real person who reads messages and reads the entire message to find the unsubscribe answers. 6% of people have said yes to buy their wonderful products, and so far we have 0% of zero votes. Oh, I'm sorry. 0% have said yes. I was off one. 6% said they never get spam. So basically, there's two types of spam. There is spam. Well, spam in general, if people aren't familiar with the word, is not the tasty.
It's not the food.
It's not the tasty meat product from Hormel Foods, and they are really upset.
Hungry over here.
Where's you?
I grew up eating spam and cheese.
Oh,
fried
man.
Spam. That's good. You probably have bad remembrance of spam from the war.
Yes. Oh.
Because it doesn't go bad when it's
the
in a can in the jungle.
Don't want the spam.
But yeah, so Hormel Foods is really mad that this word has been picked up for the computer industry. But it basically, it's unsolicited commercial email is what we're talking about. Some people call it UCE. Spam just sounds so much better.
Yeah.
But it's basically, it's ads you get in the email. And there's two general types of ads. There are legitimate ads from legitimate, you know, vendors wanting to legitimately sell you something. And then the more dangerous part are the fake ads that are just from people who want to steal your credit card information.
And they look incredibly real, too.
Yeah.
Some of them have the eBay logo right on them.
Yep.
I get those all the time.
Yeah, and those are a subclass called phishing, where it looks like eBay says there's a problem. It looks like, you know, Citibank says there's the problem. And then there's a story we talked about a couple of weeks ago where smaller banks, smaller regional banks are being hit, where they'll blanket an area code with text messages and say, you know, there's a problem in your account, call our 800 number.
Right.
And it's a fake, well, it's a real 800 number going to a fake place who steals your banking information.
Mm-hmm.
And since they're going after small regional banks, it hasn't made widespread news until now. You know, Citibank has been targeted for years because they're a widespread national bank. So you get an email from, you know, JCPenney wanting to tell you about their new sale. Well, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Or you get a fake email from a fake JCPenney trying to steal your information, and that's not nice. And it's very hard to tell the difference.
I just saw a new one out by Adobe.
Yep.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's a new one. It just came out.
There's a critical flaw in the Shockwave player.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be getting a message from Adobe if you signed up for notices from them.
Yep. And always go to the website. Always go right to eBay or whatever.
Yeah, never click a link in an email because the link that shows in the message is not necessarily the link it really goes to, because that's easy to fake. So open your browser yourself and go to eBay.com and PayPal.com yourself. Type the address in yourself, so that you know you're going to the legitimate place.
Yep.
So that's pretty nasty.
And one thing we should mention, though, after that is, you know, once you go ahead and vote in the poll, I know Nick would want us to say this too, is, you know, that's usually never enough. Just clicking isn't once. So Nick, you know, just bowed to everybody's pleasures and said, okay, tell you what. He set up his own page that's at asknick.com. You can go there and leave an opinion. And, you know, you can actually say what you think about the poll. Try to keep it clean. Check it out, because he does offer a lot of stuff at his site. But, you know, check it out and put your opinions on some of this stuff, because it is wide. And, I mean, some folks could go on probably for volumes.
Yep. And we're getting some spam recipes. One of the comments is his mother hollered at him, but fried spam and eggs with hot peppers and sourdough bread.
Oh, there we go.
So there we go. You can get some spam recipes out of this, too. There is an international spam convention every year that Hormel hosts. Spam-flavored ice cream, spam-sickles.
No, the one thing that I used to love, and some of our older listeners would remember, is cream chip beef on toast.
Yep. And peace. The nickname we can't say on the radio.
Mm-hmm. But it was good.
Yep.
I mean, that was a nice cheap meal. And, matter of fact, that's how my mother wound up getting a bunch of orange juice glasses. Because it came in a real nice glass. It was the size of orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
So we never worried about if we had any, you know, if we broke one of those glasses, it's, oh, guess we're going to have
chocolate. That's why we can never have nice things. The glasses you get from the gas station and the Cool Whip bowls for your salad.
Yeah. You know, the old Speedy Gonzales glasses and Pepe Le Pew and all those that used to get back at, what was that, McDonald's or Burger? Yeah, McDonald's.
Pretty much all of them would give out sunglasses.
Yep.
What did we get? Star Trek glasses we got, the latest promotion. So it's always the big thing is what fast food franchise is going to have the promotion to what big blockbuster movie to get the toys and things from them.
Okay, I'd like to remind you folks, if you got a computer question, give us a call at 966-5299 or in the toll-free area there. We've got one of those set up too, 1-800-790-0415. Give us a call, and we'll get you right on the air, take your computer questions. But speaking of computer questions, let's go with – here, I'll pass this over to you, Steve. I got it.
All righty.
Enough stuff here. I saw one there, though. I don't know if it's already passed a reminder about the Apple Cider Group.
Yeah, that was last week, so we'll skip that one. Yep. All right, so we have a question here. Scott in Rochester writes, he has a comment about backing up. It may be worth mentioning more often that there are commercial backup services that automatically back up off-site, which we've talked about. It's good to have an off-site backup. There are several... the main barrier to backing up is it's tedious and time-consuming, and people don't like doing it. So there are several backup commercial backup services and non-commercial backup services. There's free ones. There's pay ones. Some of them give you, a few gigabytes for free, and then you pay if you want more. But, yeah, it's a very good point, Scott. It's nice having a backup yourself, and one of the easiest ways is a flash drive or an external hard drive, just backing up your stuff. But if there's a catastrophic problem, fire in your house or flood or something like that, you lose your computer and your backup drive sitting next to the computer.
Yeah.
So that off-site backup is a good one. We've talked about a few in the past. We have some links on our list. There's Mozy and Carbonite and Dropbox.
Yeah.
In fact, I've been liking Dropbox lately because it synchronizes folders. So you mark a folder as a Dropbox folder. Mm-hmm. Anything you put in that folder gets sent up to the internet.
Oh.
And if you have multiple computers, that folder gets sucked down from the internet on the other computers. So if you have a desktop and a laptop or home and work, whatever you put in that folder is automatically synchronized between all your computers that have it set up.
Hmm.
And that's free for 2 gigabytes of space.
And
which is a lot for documents.
That's pretty good. They're great for documents and stuff like that. But I had somebody... trying to do all their music and everything, and it was literally going to take months. It said
to upload.
It said like 2 months left to upload because
2 months.
And, and music, photos, videos. 60 gig. Yeah,
For documents and stuff though, they're great. Get that stuff off site.
Yeah, and that's the big thing that you want a backup for. So the documents you've created. If you have paper copies, you can retype them if you want.
Sure.
But the real big thing is your photos. Back in the traditional camera days, you had a negative and you had a print. So you had
that's your backup.
That's your backup. Yeah. If you lost one, you could make the other one from it. So now with digital cameras, you take a picture, you put it on your computer, you delete it from the camera. So now you don't have a second copy. We've gotten a lot of customers that come into the store with dead hard drives. Oh, I lost 6 months of the new baby pictures. Well, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, even no promises.
Also, people that haven't taken them off their camera yet. And then sometimes the SD cards will go bad. And I've had to retrieve pictures off SD cards and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Remember that one? Well, tell you what, before we get into that, hold on a second here. I'll warn my wife. Folks, the folks that you're hearing today is Dan Deary. This is my partner that I tell you folks constantly always working. Partner in crime here that we get going and always working and fixing people's computers. And I even talked to my lovely wife, Lori, who you see on the checklist, is here to help us out. Because you know what? I'm feeling generous. And tell you what, if you're the 10th caller... And if you're not a staff member, volunteer, or underwriter of Jazz 90.1 and their families, and listen to listeners who have not won in the past 30 days, tell you what, pick up the phone and dial 966-5299 and be the 10th caller, and you can win some tickets to the Soundbites birthday party, which is going to be on September 5th from 11 to 4. You're not going to want to miss it. We've been waiting for this for 20 years, folks. So pick up the phone, dial carefully. Again, that's 966-5299 to get your pair of tickets to the Soundbites birthday party.
Alrighty. Should we do news or a question? I have two piles of paper.
Yeah, your choice. Well, I'll tell you what. No, wait a minute. Let's go. She's still doing it. We got a couple minutes before we got to take a break. Going back on the flash drives.
Yeah.
Yep.
you know, we were just talking about it before. Dan and I both carry flash drives, and we've said this before. They have the SD cards in them that you can lock.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a new virus out there that's literally looking for people to plug in flash drives.
Yep.
And, you know, you want to be very careful because a lot of these flash drives don't have the protection.
They don't have the locks anymore.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They used to make them, but.
Yep. I use a flash drive at work for, I store all the Security Tango files on it. And whenever I put it into a computer, a PC to load all the files, I then take it to my Mac and erase it.
Yeah.
And reload the files.
Yeah. You got to be very careful because, you know. It's dangerous out there, folks, and we have just gotten so complacent, you know, in not watching, you know, what we're doing, that it's scary.
Yep. Well, have you seen the crazy flash drives that look like food or fingers? So you like pull the fingernail off, and there's the USB connector, and it just look weird sticking out of your computer.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of different ones of those.
Yep.
Well, that tells me, folks, we got to take a short break. And as you all know here at Soundbites, they are very short, unless it's the top of the hour. So, you know, sit back, get your computer questions ready, get ready to call us because, you know, we will be giving away more tickets. I promise you, I'm feeling in a given mood this Saturday. And, you know, so just sit back, you know, and for these few seconds, and we'll be right back to you and give away more tickets on Soundbites Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Sound Bites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Sound Bites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
The Jazz 90.1 member card is more than just a card. It's our way of thanking you for supporting Jazz 90.1. Because in return, you can save money all year long by showing your Jazz 90.1 member card for discounts at fine local member card businesses, including 45 East Fine Jewelers, Adams Basin Inn, Antonetta's Italian Restaurant, The Bob Shop, Bert Shapiro Photography, Hedonist Artisan Chocolates, Leaf and Bean Coffee Company, Lorraine's Food Factory, Mary Boyce of Mario's Hair Studio, Mind and Body Connection, New Health Cafe, Small World Bakery, Sound Source, and Tuxedo Corner, Irondequoit and Gates locations. So carry your Jazz 90.1 member card and show it when you shop. For a complete and up-to-date list of member card businesses, visit our website at www.jazz901.org. To get your member card, call 966-5299. That's 966-JAZZ, and become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Hello, this is Joelle Van Buren. Join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
All right, you're back to Soundbites. I'm Dave Enray.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dan Deary.
And I want to let you folks know, we do have a winner. So, you know, just sit back, be patient.
Call in with your questions.
Yeah, call in with your questions, but we will be taking another set of tickets out there in the not-too-distant future. I say, I'm feeling in a given mood, so unless you got a computer question, please hang up and call us back, though, when we tell you the next chance to take and win a pair of tickets to the Soundbites party. You want to go ahead and do another news article?
Alrighty, so attacks against unpatched Microsoft bugs are multiplying. Attacks exploiting the latest Microsoft vulnerability are quickly ramping up in quantity and intensity, several security researchers have warned. And they're ringing alarms throughout the Internet. Symantec's Sunbelt Software, the SANS Institute Storm Center have bumped up their warnings after Microsoft announced on Monday that attackers were exploiting a bug in the ActiveX control used by Internet Explorer to display Excel spreadsheets. Why does Internet Explorer need to display Excel spreadsheets? Okay. There is no patch for the vulnerability, and Microsoft did not release one in its July patches. A temporary fix sets the kilobits of the ActiveX control, but basically that tells the ActiveX not to run, but experts believe that most users aren't going to know how to do that, and it can be turned back on again very easily. Symantec raised its ThreatCon ranking to the second of four steps. We're seeing it exploited, but currently on a limited scale, said Ben Greenbaum, a senior researcher with Symantec. Sunbelt also bumped the ranking to high. Meanwhile, the SANS Internet Storm Center set condition yellow. I love how everyone uses different condition levels.
Yeah.
After discovering numerous sites were hosting the attack. So basically, you use Internet Explorer to go to a compromised website, and you get hit by this attack.
Yep.
Last week, Microsoft confirmed that hackers were exploiting the unpatched bug, which is part of the Direct Show component of DirectX for Windows. McAfee also echoed the problem, confirming that the DAC code is targeting this exploit and is being exploited and distributed from hacked Chinese websites. So you can't track them down and stop them because they're not in the U.S.
Yeah,
anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft is working on a patch. It's unclear when it will be ready, and users do not have any protection today.
And so, more importantly, too, why are people still using Internet Explorer?
Right. That, yeah. So your protection is just stop using Internet Explorer. We've been talking about that for years.
I was going to say, how many years have we been pushing it? Yep. And, I mean, Dan and I constantly are always talking folks into going to Firefox.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you're clicking on a blue E to see a web page, you're using Internet Explorer, and you should switch over to the orange fox, which you have to look really close to actually see. It's a fox encompassing a blue globe.
Yeah,
he's
here.
Curled up around the blue globe, yeah. So Firefox is a very good third-party browser, works with virtually every website. The biggest limitation that you may run into is Microsoft's own software update page requires Internet Explorer, so just don't go there for a while and use Firefox.
And that 3.5 Firefox is out now.
Yeah,
it just came out
Firefox
this week.
3.5 just came out. It supports HTML5, which has some really cool direct video stuff in it as well, mm-hmm. although severe zero-day vulnerability was found in that, so 3.5.1 has been released.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The same day, I think. It was.
But they, you know what? That's one thing, though, to say. They fix it a lot faster than Microsoft ever would think of fixing it.
Yeah.
Well, tell you what. We got a caller. Jason, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you guys today?
Great. And you?
Not too bad. I'm a Windows user, unfortunately, and I was wondering if you guys could give us a rundown of what all the new features are in Windows 7 that would encourage me to upgrade from XP.
It's a good operating system.
Yeah,
we've been playing with it a lot.
Yep.
It's got some cool new features in it. Like one of the things that they're coming out with is the Windows Shake. Yep. It's kind of cool because you can take your cursor up at the top if you've got a bunch of windows open. You can take the cursor, click there, shake it a little bit, and it'll minimize everything that you got open down to...
except the one that you're clicking on.
The one that you're clicking on, yeah, and keep that open. It's basically going to be a lot more stable operating system.
They took a lot of that security nag out of it. Another feature they got into is what they call Snap 2.
Yeah.
Now, this is really cool. If you've got a window open and say I size it to a particular size, say a Word document, and I'm going to open up another one because I want to compare one to the other, all I do is bring it up and bring it near the other window, and it will snap what they call Snap 2 and make it the same size. So you're looking at two windows the exact same size, not one a little bit bigger, one a little bit smaller. It actually puts them side by side, and you could do the same with other stuff in it.
One of the biggest issues, though, is going to be that Microsoft is going to stop releasing updates for XP in another year or so, but eventually that's going to force you to move to a newer version just to get the security patches.
Well, we even had a client in that was still running Windows 98. And we got a couple of other clients, you know, we've been trying to tell him, and he goes, you know, especially this one client keeps going, well, what can I do? update your computer, because he keeps complaining, thing is so slow. You know, it's not working right.
It's very slow. The browsers probably don't work well because it's an old version.
He can't open certain stuff and everything else. And I tell him, he goes, what can I do short of shooting it? I said, get a new computer.
It's probably too old to take XP or Vista or 7.
It's from 1995. Yep.
Probably 256 megs of RAM maximum.
Sims, the old SIM memory, too.
Yeah. So I've posted a link on our link list from Microsoft about all the cool new features. It is basically an ad from Microsoft about why you would want to buy this, but it does show you what the new features are.
Does some of that help you out a little bit, though, Jason?
Yeah, it gives me a few things. I always knew the security updates were going to end, and that was pretty much the only reason I could think of to upgrade to 7, but I was just wondering if there was anything better.
There's a comprehensive search. You can search your computer as easy as you can search the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there's new home networking built in. It makes it a lot easier for people to set up their own networks.
You don't have to be a network guru.
Right. Yeah, right.
And, of course, ironically, most of these features have already existed in the Mac OS for several years now.
No, you guys have
been. Where does Microsoft get their research from? Yeah.
Studying
Mac. When Apple releases the Mac OS so that we can put it on the PCs without a problem.
Well, there are people that have done that, but Apple won't support it because they want you to buy the Apple hardware. Most of the groups are called Hackintosh, you're actually violating the end-user license agreement, because when you buy a retail box of OS X, it says you're only going to run it on Apple hardware. So there's a lot of gray area that's been popping up over doing that. But some people have done it, and so one of the sort of the big issues is you know, why. It's mostly an intellectual exercise at this moment.
Plus, this will be a good time, too, for people to upgrade to 64-bit OS, too, if they haven't already.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see how many people will go from 32 go for the 32-bit or
'cause that's sort of been a catch-22 in the Windows world, is that developers don't want to make 64-bit programs because no one has 64-bit OSs.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the new i7 chip, which will take advantage of, you know, the 64-bit and now the 64-bit operating system, I think we're finally turning the corner. Yep. Because, I mean, folks are loading their machines up with 4 gig of memory.
Yeah, the biggest reason that the average user will see with 64-bit is you can have more than 4 gigs of usable memory. If you put 4 gigs in your 32-bit machine, it can only access 3.2 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that you cannot access the full 4 gigs on a 32-bit OS.
Well, hopefully that'll answer your question, though, and you can make a wise decision there, Jason.
And one of the neat things you can do at the moment is download the release candidate for free from Microsoft. Put it on a second hard drive so you don't screw up your main computer.
Yep.
And take a look at it. See if it's going to do what you like. And for all the Mac users, you can get Sun VirtualBox for free, which is a virtual virtualization program, and install Windows 7 on your Macs, Intel-based Macs, and see how that works also.
Yeah. All right. Well, tell you what. Told you folks we're in a giving mood. Tell you what, let's throw out another some more tickets to the Soundbites birthday party. If you call right now, dial 966-5299, you can win some tickets to the Soundbites birthday party. Remember, staff, volunteers, underwriters of Jazz 90.1, their families, and the listeners that have won in the past 30 days are not eligible. Now, if you need any, a copy of the rules are available by writing Jazz 90.1. Point one rules are contest rules, 1139 Maiden Lane, Rochester, New York, 14615. All right, so pick up the phone and be the 10th caller. Again, the 10th caller will win some tickets to the Soundbite birthday party, because you're not going to want to miss out on this, folks. I think it's going to prove to be one heck of a bash. We've been getting ready for it for 20 years. We're going to be there live. We're going to be doing this show. It's going to be a blast. And I think the lineup
answer
is
questions live too, right?
And the lineup is growing and growing.
And the Apple Cider Users Group just celebrated its 31st birthday, so congratulations to us to get to 20 years.
Yeah.
And one of my other hats.
Keeping you busy. You busy.
Yep.
But yeah, going back to that Windows 7 though, which brought up one of the other stories that's in there is they were doing a survey.
Retail stores?
On companies. There's
companies upgrading to it?
Yeah, they're saying...
Yeah, here it is.
Yeah.
Microsoft Windows 7 will be skipped by 6 out of 10 companies, the survey says. Microsoft plans on rolling out its newest operating system, which the expectation is that it will boost Redmond's bottom line in the middle of a recession. However, a new survey by ScriptLogic suggests that a number of companies will decline to adopt Windows 7 when it makes its debut on October. I can't talk today. October 22nd.
Just to let folks know, we do have a winner. And we will be giving away more tickets, so please stay tuned.
How quick it is to get the tickets. So we should do the 901st caller. We got to get our numbers in. Sorry.
You want to tell my wife that?
So Microsoft is facing potential competition in the OS arena with the Google Chrome OS coming out, targeted at netbooks, a lot of which already run Linux. And Microsoft has a hard road convincing companies to adopt Windows 7 because most of them had really bad memories of Vista and never adopted Vista.
Yeah. So, I think they must still have warehouses full.
Yeah.
Product.
Yeah, so 1,000 companies were surveyed. 60% have no plans to adopt Windows 7, and 34% plan to be on board by December of 2010. Now, so like one thing we say, wait till Service Pack 1 comes out and then then get it. When asked the reasons behind the non-adoption, 42% said lack of time and resources was their chief motivator for not upgrading to Windows 7, and 39% cited concerns over the OS's compatibility with their existing applications. A lot of businesses are still running XP because it works. You know, there's no need.
No compelling.
And it goes back to the previous caller. There's no compelling need if it's working now, especially in a business where you might have dozens or hundreds of computers. And if you have a lot of custom code, custom written programs for your business, it makes a huge problem to update. Microsoft is depending heavily on Windows 7 to be a success. A third of the company's 2008 revenue, or roughly $20 billion, came from sales of its OS, even though Microsoft has been pushing Windows 7 onto high-end PCs, which offers higher margins than the netbooks. You know, a $299 netbook, you probably, you only make 10 bucks when you sell it. So it's there's not a high-margin product. And a rumor that currently is drifting through the blogosphere is that Microsoft is going to release a stripped-down version of Windows 7 for netbooks on a USB memory stick. We were talking about that in Second Life last night. You know, if Windows 7 comes on a DVD and my netbook doesn't have an optical drive, how do I install an OS? Through a memory stick on the USB. So, yeah, Microsoft is also facing competition from Google Chrome, which is supposed to roll out in the second half of 2010, designed specifically for netbooks. It's a web-based OS, so you can run your Google Mail, you can run your Google Search, you can run your Google Docs. You don't need local processing power and local software because everything is on the OS. So Microsoft is developing their own browser-based OS, codenamed Gazelle, which could roll out counter to Chrome OS at some undisclosed point in the future. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen in the market. And, of course, Apple's releasing their new Snow Leopard in September, which they've already announced the price is going to be $29 to upgrade if you already have Leopard.
Wow.
$49 for a 5-user family pack. Apple has these really great family packs to upgrade multiple computers in your household, and Microsoft doesn't do anything like that. So it's a really inexpensive way to upgrade to the new OS. We're already seeing some really good reports. The big thing with Snow Leopard is it's leaner and cleaner and faster than previous OSs. You may not be aware, but Apple switched their processing brain about 3 years ago,
right,
from the IBM PowerPC to the Intel Core architecture. And the Tiger and Leopard OSs were basically dual processor. So it would work. It had all the code for PowerPC, and it had all the code for the Intel.
Mm-hmm.
So in Snow Leopard, it's going to be Intel only. So they're stripping out all of that PowerPC code, which is going to make it leaner and smaller and tighter and faster. So we're really anticipating the speed boosts even on some of the older machines with Snow Leopard.
That Google OS that's coming out, that should be interesting to see if they can really put a dent in the market too.
Well, they're trying that in the cell phone market with Android.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because that's a Linux-based
Yeah.
OS, isn't it?
Another reason for Microsoft to be worried.
Yep.
Well, it should be. I mean, they've been the big boys on the block, you know, not feeling threatened. And when Linux came out for a while, you know, it was a quiet little army.
Mm-hmm.
It was building. You know, not many will...
was a hobbyist. It was like DOS was in the first days.
Yeah.
Only hobbyists and people that liked to tinker had computers.
Sure.
Yeah. And they would sit there and play around with it. But now, all of a sudden, the various brands that have come out, Red Hat and everything else,
yep.
You know, I mean, they've made it so easy. You literally put it in like Windows. It sets everything up, and you just get to the desktop.
Yep. Yep.
Like Nick said, there's even an application, you can go out there and... it'll automatically find any updates.
Yep. Yeah, apt-get built into the OS automatically, to Unix's, automatically finds updates for you.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to what the Apple Software Update, Microsoft Software Update does.
It does, yeah.
But those programs only look at Apple's own software and Microsoft's own software. We're under Linux. The apt-get looks at every Linux program from any publisher.
Yep.
And it's really cool. In fact, I saw a neat little tagline on somebody's email, apt-get rid of Microsoft. If you're a Linux guy, you're snickering.
Yeah,
but that leads into this next story, that Microsoft is going to sacrifice Office to save the Windows. They've announced that the next version of Office will have a free online counterpart. It will run in Silverlight, which is a competitor with Flash, and the products will be competitive in their own right. Basically what they're doing is that... Microsoft Office for the Internet will compete with Google Docs and Google Sheets, so you won't necessarily have to have a big computer. And if you're running a netbook or you're running a Mac that isn't running Windows, you may be able to get into it. Although Silverlight only runs on Mac and Windows, so there's no Linux yet for it. Basically, they're acknowledging that people aren't buying the Office upgrades because they don't need all those new features.
Yeah, there's so much stuff in there that's like...
In fact, that was the big joke this week when they announced the feature set of Office 2010?
Mm-hmm.
Meh.
Yeah. It's like, okay, kind of already got all that
big
stuff.
Deal.
Yeah. And you're going to charge me how much for that?
Plus, really. With Open Office out there, even colleges recommend. They say, okay, the computer requirements are Microsoft Office or Open Office.
Mm-hmm.
So with that out there, too, that's
you need a word processor. You don't need Microsoft Office.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Open Office, it's free.
And it's free.
And parents going to, you know, with college kids, you know, it's a big savings.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, tell you what, folks. Yeah, that tells me I got to get off the air for a few minutes and let these great folks tell you about their things going on here with member-supported Jazz 90.1. And this is Soundbites. We'll be back in just a few minutes to take your computer questions. And, like promised, I will be giving away more tickets. I told you, we're in a generous mood, and we're going to be giving them away the full 2 hours. So you stay tuned. And we'll be right back.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Sound bites. America's longest-running computer show is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast sound bites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
Thanks for asking, but I'd rather not send you nude pictures. I'm camera shy. I already said no. Under my clothes, I'm a robot. My webcam is broken. I'm worried they'll get passed around school. I have a rash. I have nudophobia. I have lizard skin. I'm a vampire, so I don't show up in pictures anyways. Your badgering has really killed the mood.
When someone is pressuring you to do something you don't want to, how many ways can you say no before they get the message? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit. Join me and the entire Smart Set tonight from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Yep, and we're back. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm member-supported Jazz 90.1, and I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dan Deary.
And remind you folks, pick up the phone, give us a call with your computer questions. The number is 966-5299. Or if you're out in the Rochester area, dial 1-800-790-0415 and give us your computer question. We'll try to get it on the air. And remind you, we're giving away tickets. You got to listen for when I tell you to call, but we will be giving away tickets throughout the rest of this hour and again the next hour. So you got to listen. And for your chance to win tickets to the Soundbites birthday party, which is coming up. I know it sounds like a long time off, but, you know, we're talking only September 5th, Labor Day weekend. We've already passed the 4th of July, so, you know, it's not too far away, and your chances are coming up soon to get a pair of tickets. So listen. All right, let's go back. We're on there.
Do a question?
Yeah, let's do another question.
All righty. Tom from Fairport writes, how can I remove the free version of Cyber Defender? The application is very annoying, pops up frequently, trying to coerce me into buying their full product. I took the bait and downloaded the free version, but now I'm suspect that this company is not all it appears on the surface, and I'm getting nervous. Help me. So is Cyber Defender a real antivirus program that is trying to get you to buy the full version, or is it a fake antivirus program? So far from the Google searching, it looks like it's a real program.
It looks legit.
But they could have a bunch of pop-ups. And I've been noticing that in the new version of AVG Free.
Uh-huh.
Their pop-ups for, you know, buy our full protection program are getting a little more annoying.
Sure,
which is how they support the free version by the people who do buy the pay version.
Yeah, you can't. You know, if you're running the free, it's you got to put up with that stuff for a bit.
But you should be able to go into your ad remove programs and remove that Cyber Defender from ad remove. And I'm also looking on their website for the uninstall tool as well. What it leaves behind is going to be the trick. So that goes back to Dave's favorite program, Revo Uninstaller.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. You could maybe find it in there too. Get all the registry settings and all that stuff out of there.
Yeah.
But yeah, they might offer on their website. They might offer a lot of the companies now have actual removal tools. If the ad remove programs isn't working for whatever reason, sometimes you can find an actual removal tool for Cyber Defender on their website, which might help also. But as far as looking, it does kind of look like a legit site here.
One of the problems that I've run into, and actually there's a similar question coming out later on, I go to download.com to download malware bytes or super anti-spyware. Mm-hmm. One of the paid results, sponsored result, is a fake program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, really tricky, yeah. So the bad guys are buying ads.
Well, we've been telling folks, you know, they could be going, because we get this all the time, Dan and I, you know, folks come in and say, but I don't go to any of these, you know, bad sites or anything else. I go to these few sites. Well, it's these few sites that are subsidizing it and taking out these advertising.
Sure.
And like you say, the hackers and all that are buying the advertising so because it's so cheap to buy space on that particular thing, and then they're stealing information.
Yep.
And they're making tons of money off of it, especially if they can spoof them with, you know, that Spyware Defender, you know, or a SpyBot 2009 or Spy Defender. You know, we've seen them all, and they look as official as all get out.
And they're using misleading names that sound like one of the real good programs, and they make a fake program. In fact, that's when I search for AVG antivirus, I find Symantec antivirus and Windows antivirus.
Mm-hmm.
One real one, one fake one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Another thing, too, is to give it a try, just run Malwarebytes, because if Cyber Defender isn't legit for some reason, Malwarebytes could take it out.
I just found a fact on Cyber Defender's website that it should work with ad remove programs.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, that's and sort of backtracking, you know, with what we were talking about before, and, you know, reasons to upgrade and everything else.
Right.
You know, the folks with Windows 98 and even Windows 2000, the antivirus programs and the spyware programs just won't work.
Right. Yep.
With the older programs.
And the one good thing about that is their operating systems are so old that hackers aren't even writing code for them anymore, too. So.
But there's a lot of old viruses still floating around that you may be susceptible to. You may catch.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it's scary. And, you know, folks have to be literate. And I know, you know, I can understand, and I can appreciate when folks say, you know, well, I just don't have the money. That I can, you know, sympathize with. You know, it is tough times, you know, unemployment rates, everything else, and you want to try to keep your computer going. But at the same token, we can only do so much to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some folks get really ticked off. As you know, well, I just had it in here and it's infected again. Why the heck? You know, and you try to tell them, you know, we put the tools in there. You got to take right. the time to do them.
Or you have to pay for the commercial. That's one difference between the free versions and the pay versions, is the pay versions automatically run and protect ahead of time. The free versions you have to run yourself after the fact.
Yep, mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah, and, you know, it's due diligence on your part because, you know, we can get it off there, get it all cleaned up, just like I know you guys can, Steve. Yep. You know, get the machines working fine. But the minute they leave the, you know, the shop, and I don't even care if they say, well, I've only had it home for a day. It only takes yep. one time to click and be on the internet and, oh, infected.
And you can, it can be completely accidental and inadvertent on your part. You could spell something wrong
mm-hmm.
and go to a bad website that has junk on it.
True.
Oh, we had one that we cleaned up. Turned around, they took it home, and the daughter went right back and went to LimeWire.
Yep.
And the lady was all upset because, oh, it's her business phone. It's like, hello?
Don't do personal stuff on the business computer, yeah.
You know, it's like, what do you want it for? A business computer? Well, need to be able to do both. Well, then you got to be a little more cautious. Don't let them download songs. And, you know,
from suspect sources, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the big thing. There's nothing. Well, the legality is a different issue, but there's programs like LimeWire and Morpheus and Kazaa. A lot of the songs listed on those peer-to-peer networks are fake songs. They're really viruses and trojans masquerading as a song, trying to get you to download it.
Mm-hmm.
So you download it, and it doesn't play, and you think, oh, I must have done something wrong.
Yeah.
No, it ran whatever malicious program.
It did
program.
What it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the record industries and watchdog groups that will put their own fake songs on there to try to catch you into downloading it and then finding you.
Tracking you.
The second trial for Jamie Thomas. You know, in the first trial, she lost. She was found guilty of downloading 24 songs from.
She had explained to folks that
Napster.
Don't know who she is.
Yeah, this was a big case 3-4 years ago where the RIAA sued this woman, Jamie Thomas. And she's got an interesting name, so we remember it. they sued her over 24 songs she had downloaded on her computer, and. Basically, she lost the suit and was ordered to pay $300,000 or $400,000 in penalties and fines. One of the weird things about it is in the penalty for downloading an illegal or illegally downloading a copyrighted song varies between what was $100 and $20,000. So it's an arbitrary value that each song can be awarded. So they split the difference and multiplied by 24. So the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, was helping defend her. They appealed, and then the judge also said he gave one of the instructions to the jury wrong, and then so they had an appeal and a new trial. And in the new trial, she was fined $1.6 billion or some ridiculous. So an even bigger amount. And it's a single mom. It's 24 songs,
mm-hmm.
and so it's the
making an example of her.
The RIA is looking worse and
they
worse now.
They gotta draw the lines like that.
Sure. Well, they have said they're not gonna sue individual people anymore. They're gonna go after ISPs. So so if you're downloading songs illegally, they're gonna have your ISP shut you down.
Yeah, right. They're gonna do it. Yeah. Tell you what, I'm feeling so generous. We're gonna make it 3 this hour.
Ooh.
Tell you what, if you're caller number 12. Pick up the phone and call 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. Remember, staff, volunteers, underwriters of Jazz 90.1, their families, and listeners who have won in the past 30 days are not eligible for the giveaway. If you need the complete rules of the contest, they are available by writing Jazz 90.1 Contest Rules, 1139 Maiden Lane. That's Rochester, New York, 14615. So pick up the phone. My lovely wife is just sitting there waiting to take the 12th caller for some tickets to the Soundbites birthday party on September 5th. And it's going to be prove to be one heck of a party, I think. They're going to have giveaways. We're going to have prizes of all kinds. A birthday cake. I already heard the birthday cake's all set up, and I know the Amherst are already coming.
Is the computer going to jump out of it?
You got to.
I said computer.
You got to talk to you talk to Laurel Ann about that one. All I know is we got a cake coming, so you know it should be a great time, folks. I mean, we've been hoping that something could come off like this, you know, to celebrate 20 years because we are the longest running computer show in the known universe. You know, we have been here to answer your questions just about 52 weeks out of the year for the past 20 years. And look forward to meeting some of you folks face-to-face if you can make it to the party. So, you know, pick up the phone and give it a call. Again, she's taking caller number 12, so dial carefully.
And that doesn't take very long to get to caller 12.
No, we are going through them fast, so when she gives me the sign, yeah, it's like, yeah, that's it, folks. So, boom, I promise you, we will be giving away more the next hour. So if you don't get into it this time, I'm not saying when. Yeah, see how generous we feel. Maybe the next hour, give away some more tickets. All right.
News or question?
Oh, let's go with a question.
Let's go with a question. All righty. Jim from Syracuse writes, he's got a question about the podcast. For some reason, it
we
won't...
do have a winner. Just to interrupt you there for a
we
second.
We do have a winner.
We do have a winner. That's how fast they're going.
Alrighty.
I mean, just got to stay tuned for the next hour, folks. We'll have more drawings within the next hour. Go ahead with the question.
All right. So a problem with this week's podcast. For some reason, it won't play on his iPod. All the others do fine. It plays on his computer, but not the iPod. We have 72 people listening on the stream as well. Where was it? I think he downloaded it during the wrong phase of the moon, or is there more sinister forces at work? Do the Men in Black, the aliens in Area 51? Other podcasts have played fine, so he's very confused. Good question, since I'm the one that uploads the podcast. I didn't notice a problem in my computer, but I didn't actually download it to my iPod
either. And nobody
either.
Else has complained on the forums that I'm aware of.
Well, I think this is the same guy that did post on the forums that he couldn't. I'm getting into the forums to check.
Okay.
I tried a new program this week. Ashcan turned me on to a program that lets you trim MP3 files without...
Sacrifice?
Without reconverting them. When I usually use Audacity to edit it,
mm-hmm.
so it converts it from MP3 into an uncompressed AIF project, and then I do the editing and I have to recompress it back down to an MP3. So that uncompression recompression will lose more quality. So I tried this new program, and if I find it real quick, I can even tell you.
Well,
what the name
I gotta tell you. I mean, I've listened to some of the newer shows now that we're on FM. Even for my tin ear, and I mean,
yep.
Dan will tell you, I got a very bad tin ear. The quality does sound a lot better.
Yeah.
Being on FM, it is just kicking it up a notch, you know, even though we're talk radio. I mean, it just sounds a lot better, and I'm hoping all our listeners out there are really enjoying it and, you know, and the length of the show, too.
Yep. Yeah, so this program is called MP3 Trimmer. Interestingly enough. And, so for Jim in Syracuse, we'd have to know what happens. You know, does it download to the iPod and not play? Does it not download? You get an error message of some kind. We have seen cases with iPods where they think they're playing, but they never actually do play, and the actual play counter stays at zero. And the usual fix for that is to erase and reinstall your iPod software. Which is just done in iTunes. There's a restore button that will erase iTunes, reinstall the software, and then re-download all your music to it. You should also make sure you're running the latest version of the iPod software, which iTunes will also tell you if you are or not. So that's a couple of things to try. It may also depend on what generation iPod he has.
Yeah.
Maybe the older... I don't think there's been a change in the MP3 playback in the iPods over the years, but it's possible.
Now, can you change all the batteries in the iPods? Can the batteries be changed?
They can be changed, but they are technically not user replaceable. There's no little door that opens.
Right. Yeah. No, they got to be sent
Well, you can buy a battery for about $30-$35, depending on what model it is, and try to replace it yourself. It is kind of tricky to get the iPods open, so most places will charge you $50-$60 in labor to get it open. So you're looking at $100 to replace your battery, or a new iPod starts at $150. So that's a little annoying.
Yeah.
But if you're an adventurous soul, you like to tinker. Basically, the iPods are sort of pressed together.
It's Dan and I,
yeah.
Especially Dan.
Yep. Yeah, the iPods are pressed together. There very few of them are actually screwed together. So you have to spread that little tiny seam without damaging the rest of the iPod. Now, do you know what a spudger is?
A spudger? No.
That sounds as weird as spam.
Yeah. Apple calls them black sticks. It's a nylon, non-marring tool.
Okay.
So you can pry apart little pieces of plastic. I've seen some companies call them spudgers. It's a plastic knife, basically.
Uh-huh.
That you use to pry apart things. If you use a metal screwdriver to pry it, you're going to mar the surface.
Yep.
So these nylon tools, or it's a black. Apple sells them as literally a black stick of nylon. So it doesn't mar your cases. The companies that sell the batteries, we sell brands from Fastmac and Sonnet. They typically come with the spudger built in.
Oh, that's cool.
Or with the kit, so that you can spread the case apart and try to replace the battery yourself.
We got another caller here.
Your mic is off, Dave. There you go. Start
we
again.
We got another caller that was experienced the same thing with the podcast. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, hi.
Hello. Make it quick.
Hi. Yeah, I had the same problem. I download it every week, and this week it wouldn't play on a SanDisk player. The weird thing was when I hooked the SanDisk up to the machine, and I played the file off the SanDisk player, it played fine, but just the SanDisk player, when I played it through there, it hung it. So I don't know if it was at the very beginning of the podcast, it was like it did like a high frequency sound, and I think that might have screwed it up or something.
I did lower the bit rate a bit. It also encoded it with variable encoding. I wonder if that's it.
What I finally did was I transferred it over to a WAV file, and then I put it back to an MP3, and it played okay then.
This is weird. I'm looking at the file on my computer from last week. It's a 47 kilobit per second variable bit recording.
Oh, that might be it. I've had trouble with that before.
Yeah.
With variable rates. It'll...
All the previous ones are 48 kilobit, non-variable.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So why did it record?
I
it must be that MP3 trimmer.
Yep.
It changed the bit rate.
Hung the player up real bit.
Yep. All right, so we'll figure out how to I'll make sure it doesn't do that again, and I'll try to repost last week's.
Yeah, we'll try to clean
it
up, but thank you for, that's one great thing about, our listeners here get back to us on it, and we'll see what we can do on that. It's very helpful that, he had originally said that, he was having the same problem as the other person, mm-hmm. and at least took the time
and it plays fine on the computer, because the computer can play back
knows
that.
Knows how to handle the variable rate.
Yep.
Okay. Well, tell you what, folks, that tells me we got coming up on the top of the hour, we got to take another break, and we'll be back again with more tickets, more giveaways to get your chance to come to the Soundbites birthday party here on member-supported Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester.
A public service of the Greece Central School District.
Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
From the outside, looking in. A career for Bill Cunliffe as arranger and pianist for the Buddy Rich Big Band seemed like a dream. But Bill's perspective was different.
As a pianist, your skills do atrophy in a big band because you can do what you do on the band great, but you can't really do anything else. I wasn't really practicing the classical stuff and the jazz stuff, and the road is very difficult, especially with him. I mean, 14-hour bus rides sometimes. You'd get up, the leave would be 8 o'clock, and you'd get there at 7 or 8 o'clock to do a 9 o'clock gig. It was hard. It's really hard work, and I want my life to continue. I had a girlfriend in Cincinnati, so I went back there, and I did some, I wrote some music for some commercials, and I played piano 4 nights a week in a hotel. And then I had a group with a great drummer there named Art Gore at the Greenwich Tavern. we started a trio at this club in kind of a bad area of town in Cincinnati. But we got everybody to come in. I played with Junior Cook, Freddie Hubbard, James Moody, Sonny Fortune, Art Blakey, George Benson, Mark Murphy, Ursula Duziak, Carter Jefferson, Woody Shaw, three or four times. So we really had a good time. Then that gig kind of folded, but I also had a quintet there. And in the quintet was this guy, Scott Wenholt, who's one of the great trumpet players in New York. But Scott moved to New York, and I kind of saw the writing was on the wall. I had to get out of Cincinnati. So it was New York, L.A., New York, L.A., and around this time, the Gene Harris Trio came through Jilly's, and Jeff Hamilton was there, and Ray Brown was there. And I talked with Jeff for a little while, and I don't know, just L.A. seemed like the right move.
Which eventually led him to his associate professor job at California State University at Fullerton, and ultimately to sitting in with me, Helen Borgers.
Hear a full hour of Sitting In with Helen Borgers every Friday at noon on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Our son would go from, "Good morning, Mom," to words you'd never expect to come out of your child's mouth. He was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. The hardest part of living with someone who has a mental illness is thinking that you're alone. NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, doesn't let anyone give up hope.
One in five adults lives with depression, schizophrenia, anxiety, or other mental illnesses. NAMI provides education and support. Go to NAMI.org or call 800-950-NAMI.
When my business got bigger, many things changed. My lunches got shorter, more meetings arranged. My budget got bigger, but all that it meant was I cared even more about how it was spent. When I spend it on radio, I see where it goes. My investment comes back, and my business just grows. Radio helps all businesses to grow. Find out how at RadioHeardHere.com.
Brought to you by this radio station to remind you that radio is heard here. Radio is heard everywhere.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Ooh, I love to hear that. Hairy leg again, folks. That's our infamous hairy leg that you constantly hear us harass about. Yes, you are listening to member-supported Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites, and I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dan Deary.
And again, folks, like promised, you know, you're going to have to stay tuned because we will be giving, just talking around with the crew here, and yeah, we're going to get crazy again this coming hour and give away some more tickets, so you're going to want to stay tuned. If you haven't won any, you know, definitely keep that phone ready, and if you got a computer question, please give us a call. Well, you can call us with your computer questions right now at 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. So, you know, pick up the phone, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll get you right on the air, even though you might be a little bashful. I've had a couple of folks, no, I don't want to, they're afraid to hear their voice. I know.
So turn the radio off. Turn the volume down while you're on, and then, there you go.
But, yeah, no, I think, you know, should talk for a couple minutes there. I mean, this party is going to be one heck of a blowout. I mean, I say we've been practicing for this for the past 19 and some odd years. And, you know, they're already talking about a birthday cake, and we're going to have some giveaways. We're going to be doing the show live, you know, and take your computer questions right there. So, you know, it's something you're not going to want to miss out on. We're trying to get some other folks to come. As the list does form up, we'll, you know, keep you informed as to who and all and whatever as it develops. Because literally, well, we've only been on the air here at Member Supported Jazz 90.1 for 7 weeks now. And, I mean, they already, the minute we got here, turned around Rob and the crew, Laurel Ann, jumped right in and said, oh, wait a minute, the 20 years? Well, we got to have a party. I mean, it wasn't, could we? It's when. And they just jumped right into it. And, I mean, they are putting together one heck of a package here, folks. It's going to be a show you're not going to want to miss. It's going to be a lot of fun. Like I say, we'll be doing it live. It's going to go from 11 to 4. We'll be doing a regular show from 12 to 2, taking your computer questions, even right there at the show. We'll even embarrass you right there. We don't care. We like to have fun, you know, listeners and everybody else. You know, the old folks that call in, well, I got this friend that's got a computer problem. And we go, wink, wink, you know. You won't be able to hide. We'll have you there. So, you know, no safe place to run. But, yeah, again, we're going to get wild and give away some tickets again soon. So just stay tuned. And if you got a computer question, again, pick up the phone, dial 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. And for you folks that, you know, we talk about it from time to time, we're up in Second Life. And, you know, you'll hear us reference it once in a while. And I go, what is Second Life? Well, it's literally this virtual world where every Friday night, just like we do here on Saturdays from 12 to 2, we're up on the into this place called Second Life. Soundbites has this sim. It's like an island that we meet every Friday night at 9 o'clock our time. It's 6 o'clock what they call Linden time, which is out on the West Coast. It's a three-hour difference. And just like here, we take your computer question. But the cool thing about it is there, we're talking to folks all over the world. I mean, we've got folks from California to Denmark to England. I mean, we had even one person from Japan come in one time. And, you know, her English wasn't that great, but she was enjoying the show. We had another
young lady. A lot better than our Japanese.
Yeah. Well, she's got a translator, and evidently that's working, yep. You know, fantastic for her. English isn't too bad. I even had another lady after the show, had a couple other questions, who was in Switzerland and just got there just as I was getting ready to boogie out. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry, with the time and all that. I just got back from a party, and I, you know, like to come to you guys. So I stayed online there for a little bit longer and answered her question. So, yeah, not only here, but you can also check us out in Second Life. It's a lot of fun. Our avatars look like we are. You know, Steve, I, and Nick all look the same. So, you know.
See, that's one of the big things in Second Life is you can make your avatar look like anything you want. Dragons, wizards.
You name it. Furries. You
ball know. Of smoke.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing Nick likes to do is go around as a ball of smoke and just wander around. That's really cool.
Yep.
All right, what else we got there?
Well, Apple may be coming out with a tablet in October. Maybe. In many ways, the Apple tablet is a rumor that just won't die. For years now, a rumor about a tablet and its impending release have made its rounds around the web. But earlier this week, came to a substantial report that not only gave the elusive tablet a price, but also a release date. A report published earlier this week by a Taiwanese news site called InfoTimes, according to this newspaper, Apple has already tapped Foxconn to manufacture the device and WinTech, to supply the screens, and both these companies are Taiwanese companies. So this InfoTimes magazine is basically a magazine that covers the manufacturing companies in Taiwan. WinTech, should be noted, is the same company that already supplies this touchscreens used by the iPod Touch. But the details that actually matter are coming out now. According to the report, Apple's tablet will be released sometime this October, with Apple planning to have it in time for the holiday shopping season. It will have an asking price somewhere in the range of $800 and will be equipped with a 9-inch touchscreen, which is a little smaller than most netbooks. But what we're seeing in a lot of these rumors is that it's basically the iPod Touch, an iPhone, which has a 3.5-inch screen, scaled up to 9.7 inches. So it's basically a scaled-up iPod. It's not a scaled-down computer like most of the netbooks are in the PC world. And with the touchscreen, the Wi-Fi, web browser, email program, all that built in, it's other rumors are saying that Verizon might be including an EVDO card with it so that you can get on the internet where you don't have Wi-Fi available, which would be a break from the AT&T contract they have with the iPhones for the AT&T. So that's been one of the rumors all along, is how strict is the wording of the contract with AT&T? Is it for the iPhone or is it for any telecommunication device? So if Apple comes out with, say, a TouchBook, is one of the names that are bouncing around for this oversized iPod tablet, it could be a different company. And one of the things that is almost leading credence to these rumors is that a few months ago, Apple bought a company called PA Semiconductor. Purchased them last April. It's a boutique microprocessor company. And it's similar to the way the ARM chips work and a lot of the current PDAs. It's a very small, very powerful, very efficient and power-efficient processor because one of the problems with tablets and PDAs and Palm devices in general is the battery life. So if you have this huge screen with nice, bright backlighting, it's really going to suck your battery life down. A lot of people complain about the iPhone, which gets, we've been hearing different reports of, between eight, depending on what you're doing with it, about 8 hours of music, about 8 hours of video, 24 hours of music, or 5, 6, 7 hours of actual talk time if you're using it as a phone. So most people need to recharge their iPhone every night.
Mm-hmm.
So if your batteries don't last very long and you have to keep charging it all the time, that's not a very useful device. But as with all Apple rumors, we should take this rumor with a grain of salt. Netbooks are gaining popularity in the industry. The iPhone is already entrenched as the smartphone to beat. The Palm Pre and the BlackBerry haven't been able to keep up with the sales figures. The timing for a tablet may be working now with coming into the Christmas season. So there's a lot of different rumors coming from a lot of different sources about the possibility of a Mac tablet, a scaled-up iPod Touch. But one of the strange things, and one of the things that we've said a lot, is all the rumors could be true. Apple's engineering lab is probably working on dozens of products.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which one is actually going to come to market is the big question.
Yep.
Well, like anything else, you always put the feelers out there and see, throw it up against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
It's the term I like to use.
Yeah. So it's more expensive than a current model netbooks, which are usually running in the $400 or $500 range. But it is cheaper than a full-featured laptop to be able to use with internet and Wi-Fi and web browsing and email, pretty much everything people want to use their laptop for. But if it's smaller and lighter than a laptop, a lot of times I'll just take my iPod with me and not the laptop because I can get on the internet. I can watch my videos.
Email.
I can get my email. Yeah,
all that stuff.
So I don't need to take this big laptop, even though it's only 3 pounds, but that's big.
By today's standards, that's huge.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But compared to the EPC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, granted, you're only, a 10-inch screen?
Yes, yeah, so they started out with 7-inch screens, and they're just way too small to time. And that's one thing that Apple has said for a couple years now, when everyone asks about netbooks at shareholder meetings and whatnot, is they're not going to make something cheap that's crap. So one of Apple's big things is the keyboard. And I've heard and read in a lot of reviews of netbooks, the keyboard is too small.
Mm-hmm.
Now, especially on a 7 or 8 inch netbook model, you can't type for very long because the keys are just too small and too close together.
Trying to do a Word document or something like that on it, it's just...
Now that we're seeing 10 and 12 inch netbooks, which used to be a laptop, but now it's a netbook, the keyboards are big enough. So on this 13 inch computer I've got in front of me, it's got a full size keyboard with the keys are spaced far enough apart so that it is easy to type on. Even Apple's MacBook Air, which is really, really, really thin, that's the big thing about the Air is it's thin, but it's still a full-sized keyboard.
Right, right.
Yeah. And really drastic price cuts a couple of months ago. That was the other thing I read. All the Microsoft Laptop Hunter ads where they're always saying how expensive the Apples are.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there's a story going around that a Microsoft official said at a Microsoft meeting that Apple Legal called Microsoft and said, "You got to stop running those commercials because they're wrong now. We just lowered our prices significantly." So, so in fact, the one they point out was someone was looking for a 15-inch laptop with 4 gigs of RAM. And last month, no, we're in July now, so 2 months ago, Apple's 15-inch with 4 gigs of RAM was $2,300. Now Apple's 15-inch with 4 gigs of RAM is $1,500.
Ooh, big difference.
Yeah. Yep. So it's a significant price decrease, so they should stop running those commercials.
Sure.
And so the Microsoft guy that was saying they're all ecstatic at Microsoft because Apple called them to yell at them. So the commercials must be working.
Yeah.
Well, they're getting to them. I told you before, we're feeling generous. So tell you what, if you're the 12th caller, that's the 12th caller. If you pick up the phone and dial 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. Now, remember, staff, volunteers, underwriters of Jazz 90.1, their families, and listeners that have won within the past 30 days are not eligible for this giveaway. So pick up the phone and be the 12th caller to win some tickets to the Soundbites birthday party. If you want a copy of the rules, if you write Jazz 90.1 Contest Rules, 1139 Maiden Lane, Rochester, New York, 14615. You can get a whole listing of the rules if need be. Again, we're giving to the 12th caller some tickets to the Soundbites birthday party on September 5th. You won't want to miss it. All right. Got a few more minutes before we got to go to break. And the lovely wife is, I can hear her in the distance answering the phone as folks frantically are trying to get their tickets for this birthday party, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, what else? We were talking about, you know, one thing, though, I had heard, and as far as the iPods and that type of stuff, you know, the small screens.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, it was Kodak, Eastman Kodak, that came up with the material for the screens.
For the small LCDs?
It was the OLED, wasn't it? A lot of cell phones. My cell phone over there. A lot of cell phones where the little tiny screen on the front of the cell phone that like gives you the phone number and the time, but not the big screen on the inside of the cell phone. A lot of those are OLED.
Mm-hmm.
They're colorful. They're bright. They're vibrant. They use less power, but they're still pretty expensive.
Yeah, Kodak though.
Yeah.
Again, folks don't realize it was some more technology that was developed right here in Rochester.
Yep.
You know, by Eastman Kodak Company, and it's...
And for the people that don't know, it's the OLEDs are the ones that use actual LEDs to light up the back screen.
Rather than a typical fluorescent light bulb that does now,
A lot of the high-definition TVs are getting into that, too, because it gives such a better to the TV. It'll last a lot longer, plus you get a lot more vibrant colors, so...
And you don't get... The color changes that you do with fluorescent, because the fluorescent tube that runs the length of your monitor, the luminosity varies along that fluorescent tube.
Yeah, generally just to jump in for a second, we do have a winner, so
we have a winner.
Try again the next hour, folks, or within the hour, we'll be giving away some more. So sit tight, we'll be giving away more.
Yeah. The next big step is going to be laser backlit screens. Some really, really high-end TVs, flat-screen TVs, have a laser backlit. We're still $7,500,000 for a laser backlit, but it's really bright. And in fact, according to Wikipedia, the first OLED diode device was invented at Eastman Kodak by Dr. Ching Tang and Stephen Van Slyke in the late 1980s.
Wow.
So it's been... more than 20 years.
Yeah, it's been out
and
for a while.
We're not quite cheap enough to get to market yet.
All right, that tells me we got to take another very short break, folks, but I want you to sit back, relax. Don't be bashful. Pick up the phone and dial 966-5299 if you have a computer question. We got to take a short break. This is Soundbites, a member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past 2 decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve, and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
After I came home from the war, I lost everything. My job, my family, but this place, this is where I started to put my life back together.
12 years my family lived in that house, then it was gone, washed away in a flood. We were on the street. The day we came here, that's when I knew we could make it.
But it's not just about having a place to call home. It's about improving lives. Through our programs and support, our promise and hope, we work so that no one will be left behind. To help strengthen your community, visit volunteersofamerica.org.
Hey, this is Rip Savage. Join me tonight for Fusion, 10 p.m., right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, folks. As promised, we already had a winner for this past pair of tickets, but we will be giving away more, so don't despair. We got plenty of tickets still to give away. You're listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dan Deary.
And we're here to take your computer questions. So don't be bashful. You know, pick up the phone, dial 966-5299, and hit us with your computer question, even in while you're waiting for the chance to win some more tickets. Let's do another question.
Do a question? All righty. Michael from Scottsburg, New York. Well, we have to look up where Scottsburg, New York is. He ran the security tango, and when he went to malware bytes, he got mixed up and got a registry cleaner instead. So he wanted to know, what is a registry cleaner, what's a good one to use? And the laptop is not running any better after the tango. Some infections were found and fixed, but it's still running slow.
Generally, with registry cleaners, I'm not that big of a fan of them, you know. Windows does such good of a job itself managing the registry. Revo, again, program that we like a lot. Whenever you uninstall programs, that's a good registry cleaner. Probably when he was downloading the malware bytes, I'm guessing that he got one of those advertisements that we were talking about.
Yep. One of the things to watch out for.
That's probably installed on his machine now.
Yeah. On our Security Tango page, we list the Super Anti-Spyware Malware Bytes, and those links take you directly to their site. On their site, when you go to download, oftentimes there's a link that says download directly from us, or the bigger link is download from one of our partners, like download.com or majorgeeks.com. And when you go to one of those sites, there's typically ads. So as I was mentioning earlier, you go to download.com, search for malware bytes. It's going to come back with ads for anti-malware software, anti-spyware software. And some of those ads are fake ads. And also malware bytes and Super Anti-Spyware sell other programs as well. So what's interesting, Malware Bytes is the company. Anti-Malware is the program. So it is a little tricky. You can accidentally download the wrong thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, the laptop is running is still not running any better after the tango. It may be you've got a different problem. It may not be a malware problem.
I wonder if it's that registry program. You know how that can add, you know, if he downloaded that and it's sitting in there and that's now running in the background, keeping track of what's being changed in the registry.
It could be. Because sometimes I've seen also where it'll remove something that it really shouldn't have and cause more problems than good, too. I have used one. It's by Lexon. It's a good registry program. It's RegScrub XP that I've used. That's a good one if you definitely want to get something to clean your registry. But like Steve said, it could be something totally unrelated. Another program running, some drivers that are conflicting with each other or something like that, too, if the Security Tango didn't fix that problem.
Right. And it may be something deeper, you know, how much RAM do you have, how much free hardware. Space on your hard drive. Yeah, mm-hmm. And there may be something else involved.
Sure.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Listen to that. I don't know Nick's script off the top of my head.
That's all right.
Welcome, kitties. It's time if we can wake him up. How does that go? Uncle Dave!
You got
Uncle
me.
Uncle Dave!
Oh, yeah. We're here. We're prompt. We're ready to go, folks. You know, just because Nick isn't here, that doesn't mean we can deprive you. Because I get a lot of folks that you sit there and literally love our rants. And, you know, this is stuff we cannot make up. Dan and I run into this all the time. And it's, again, not to pick on any clients, but, you know, when somebody brings in a laptop and a baggie full of keys.
I had one of those last week. My toddler decided to pull all the keys off the keyboard.
You don't. Hello, if this is a work computer, you don't let your kid play with it. And especially if he is bound to have fits of rages, and they pound on the keyboard, keys will pop off.
I had one of those where I forget which actual disease he had, but the kid threw the computer out the window of a moving car, and they had to go back and retrieve it.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, and here's the other thing. Getting most of the parts only gets it mostly fixed, not completely fixed. When it's missing the rest of those little plungers. Oh, those are important? Yes! You know, they help get it back together so you can operate it.
And so go, then...
I can still hit the thing. Yep. I can still do this.
Still hit the contact, yeah.
Yep. So then you've got... then you've got time and material to put the whole keyboard back together versus just buying a new keyboard.
Getting a new keyboard,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, well, Dan has found one site, though, we've been able to, you know, luckily get a few keys.
Mm-hmm.
But when you pound the snot out of it...
And I'm break so- all the plastic pieces
yeah,
and the
you know,
plungers.
I mean, I'm sorry. You know, folks, if this is a work computer, then treat it like that. And, you know, yeah, it's cute when Johnny wants to sit there. Little Mary wants to play on the
keyboard. Give them a broken keyboard to pound on.
You can go buy another keyboard for $10. You know, at Walmart,
any
place you can get, you know, used ones and let them beat on that.
Sure.
No biggie. So, you know, use a little smarts, folks.
But we hear that all the time. This is my only computer for business. I can't be without it.
Yeah.
Well, then you might want to have a second computer for when this one is in the shop.
Oh, we could do another story on that. Yeah. You know, that's unbelievable. Well, I'll tell you what. Now that I've had my rant, again... We're feeling generous. Let's give away another set of tickets. We'll give it to, again, the 10th caller. We'll make it a little easier this time. We'll give out some more tickets, another pair of tickets to the 10th caller. If you pick up the phone and dial 966-5299, 800-790-0415 if you're outside the Rochester area. Now, I got to remind you, staff, volunteers, and underwriters of Jazz 90.1, their family, and listeners that have won in the past 30 days, sorry, you're not eligible this time. You can get a complete listing of the rules by writing Jazz 90.1 Contest Rules, 1139 Maiden Lane, Rochester, New York, 14615. So pick up the phone and be the 10th caller to get your pair of tickets to the Soundbites birthday party coming September 5th. You don't want to miss out on it. And the phones are already going, and my lovely wife is already on it, and hopefully we'll have a winner soon.
Yep.
But, no, going back, though, just again to kind of go on the rant, though, I mean, you know, we've had a number of folks that sit there, and it's amazing that they'll sit there and use a business computer.
Yeah. You know, sometimes they'll bring in stuff in baggies like cookies or muffins, which is fine. But then when they bring in keys from a keyboard, it's...
All right, we do have a winner. Boy, that's going fast.
Yeah, that goes fast, yep. You're calling number one, you're number two, you're number three, number four. That goes quick, yep.
I think we can still get squeezing another set before we boogie out of here. So, you know, if you didn't win this tag, stay tuned, folks. You know, we're not done yet. Like I said, we're in a generous mood, and we're going to fit them in. So stay tuned, and we'll give some more tickets away shortly, but don't despair. But, yeah, I mean, going back, though, it just amazes me. You know, folks,
computers are so ubiquitous. It's... You know, you don't give it a second thought. It's my business computer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can let the kid play on it. I'm just going to play a quick game on it.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll sit there and say, oh, this is so important to me. My whole life is on here.
Well, have a backup of your data and maybe have a backup computer. What was that friend of Nick's that was a writer and she bought six identical Osbournes, because that's what she started writing on, and they're just in the closet, in their box, waiting for the next one to die, so mm-hmm. she can just pull another one out of the box and start writing again, and won't have to learn anything new.
Afraid, I think she's got some change issues.
Yeah.
Oh, that is scary.
But yeah, there was a commercial for forget who years and years ago about it was in a corporation about and the CEO was complaining to the IT staff about the viruses getting into our network and the computers are running so slow and what can we do about it and we got to fire whoever's responsible for this. And then a little girl comes running out. Daddy, Daddy, look at the game I just downloaded and printed for you on your computer.
Oops.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to have a backup plan.
Yep. Well, that's like the story about the secretary working late at night, and the boss happens to be there, and she's walking by, and he's fumbling with the shredder and can't get it to work, and the buttons are beeping, and so she goes over to help him, shows him how to do it, and putting the paper in and hitting the right button, and just as it starts to shred the papers, he says, "Okay, I only need 10 copies of this."
I didn't hear that one.
Wrong machine.
Oh, thank you very much. You get to play again. Ooh. Well, talk about odd things happening and fixing things. And going back to one time when Dan and I had to fix a jump drive. And this thing was mangled. We had it all broken apart.
Oh, yeah. This is a good one.
It took two of us to hold this thing together. It was so broken apart.
You held some extra leads from the connectors of the actual USB connector to the drive just so we could pull data off.
And we're sitting there, and I'm trying to hold it as steady as I can. And I mean, these are little tiny wires.
Yep.
And my big bear claws here, and trying to hold these little tiny wires. And to keep, because if you breathe or move the slightest, it was going to destroy it.
Yep.
Because he had totally mangled it, and we were sort of jumping it.
Broke. It looked like if you were to stick a USB drive in the side of a laptop and then turn the laptop on the side.
And that's what happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
People forget these little dongles, like your mouse has an RF dongle sticking out there. Cards sticking out of the card slot.
Sure.
It'll just throw it back in the laptop bag and go bouncing on their merry way.
Yep.
Snap that right off.
Yep. That's what happened. I remember. We were Dave was holding the connectors on. He's like, "All right, ready, go!" And we counted down, and then pulled the data off real quick. But we were able to get that.
It took us.
Surprised ourselves with that.
Yeah, that one, like I say, that was by a hope and a prayer.
Yeah,
because we have a pretty good success rate. I mean, as long as we can get the drive to spin up,
mm-hmm.
we've had pretty good luck. But if that thing is just sitting there going clang, 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 clang,
clicking a lot, then.
Or it won't spin up at all. I mean, yeah, even
crash, sorry.
As technicians, we can only do so much. And,
Well, Drive Savers is the next big step. They put out an iPhone app. I think I still have it here. It was a free little program that lets you simulate a hard drive. And one of the biggest things, just like your car, if it makes funny noises,
mm-hmm.
that's something to check out and look into. So they made this application. It will simulate a good drive, what it sounds like. And then you can simulate a head crash. You can simulate everything else. So it's a Disaster simulator.
Disaster.
I love on their website, they have their museum of Disasters.
Yeah.
For all the discs that have been crushed. They get a lot of laptops in after trade shows that have been crushed by tour buses, fires. My favorite one is a scientific expedition on the Amazon River, and the boat sank.
Boat, yeah, I was just going
to
say that.
And they sent
one.
Divers down to get the laptop out,
yep.
and were able to recover the data.
Isn't it one of the, what was it, The Simpsons, I think?
Well, they have a lot of testimonials from a lot of Hollywood movie and television productions,
right.
where you're dealing with terabytes of data. I read that Transformers was 170 terabytes of data.
Is that the current one or the previous one?
Yeah, I think that was the current one.
That is.
Yeah.
Good.
So here's the inside of a hard drive.
Yep.
Spinning away.
Yep. And the platters.
Yeah.
Spinning.
And you can touch different points and it tells you what that piece is.
Uh-huh.
But then you can simulate a a crash, and it shows you what a crash looks like inside the drive, and you can hear what the different crashes sound. So a head crash, you know, versus an electronic malfunction. Because a lot of times you hear that clicking and clicking, and it's the head trying to re-seek on the data. And that's usually your first indication there's something going wrong with the drive.
Yep.
So, yeah, so when you bring it in for repair and say it's been clicking for 6 months, invent a time machine, go back 6 months, and then bring it in for repair.
Well, like Nick's always preaching to folks, and as do we, you know, back up, back up, back up. And Nick is big on, you know, do it at least two times. In case the one failed, you know, you got something else.
Sure.
And every now and then, look at your backup data and make sure it's really there.
Yep, try to restore something from it.
Like that one you said.
Yeah, the one I said, the guy for years, literally years, had been backing up his QuickBooks data, he thought, burning onto CD. He had stacks of CDs. He was backing up the QuickBooks program, not the QuickBooks data.
None of the data.
And part of that is QuickBooks' fault. When you open QuickBooks, it automatically opens your last data file. Mm-hmm. So people assume when they click the QuickBooks icon, that is their data file.
Yep.
Or it's a little different, you know, with like Word. You know you have a Word document, and you have this Word document versus that Word document. Yep. But QuickBooks and QuickIn, too, automatically opens your last file because it's convenient for you. But then when you try to back it up, you just back up that icon you click on, and that's the application. Or worse, it's the shortcut to the application.
That's what I've seen people, they were like, oh, yeah, here's my backup of my documents. Well, I look at the backup, and all it is the shortcut to the My Documents folder.
And the problem is there. If you double-click on that on your computer to see if it worked, it is a shortcut. It opens the real My Documents, so it looks like it worked.
But on your computer,
Yeah, so that's why backup is tricky, time consuming, and tedious, and people don't like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a nice automatic backup program. Apple comes with a really good one now built in called Time Machine. And that was the joke about Microsoft for years. It came with a really good backup program, but a really crappy restore program.
Hey, we have Dar on the phone. Go ahead, Dar.
Turn your mic on, Dave.
Oh, I keep forgetting.
Try again.
Yeah, Dar, go ahead. We got you on the phone now.
How are you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
Clicking hard drive. Picture it. A 6-year-old Toshiba laptop. Okay? Click, 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 click. All the relevant services .msc had been disabled, but it was still clicking away. Yeah. Linux shows up. Install Ubuntu. Guess what happens?
Really?
Quiet. Quiet
stuff.
Like, no more clicking.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
It could have just been trying to find some point, a reference point, because it wasn't the what they call the FAT table, file allocation table, was destroyed.
Oh,
and Ubuntu will install and do the boot record into a different location.
Right, or there was a bad spot on your hard drive, which every hard drive has bad sectors. Mm-hmm. And if that happens to be, say, your Windows boot sector or a Windows system file, or on the Mac, the same sort of things, when you're trying to run your computer, the drive has trouble reading that sector, so it tries again and again. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways it tries is to move the head away and then bring the head back on maybe a different angle or a different velocity. And so that's the clicking you hear.
Sort of like on a car motor, the idle is good, is kind of searching up and down, trying to stabilize.
Trying that stabilize, right. So then when you install a new OS on top of it, or when you erase the hard drive,
and the FAT table is established,
it maps out those bad sectors again. So now the new data you've written isn't in that bad sector anymore. I would still be a little distrustful of that drive.
Now, you got through the full install of Ubuntu on it?
Yeah, no sweat.
Yeah.
Well, I used it for 3 years and gave it away to the Rolfer.
Yeah.
Okay.
He needed he was using a really old Mac.
Mm-hmm. There is a program called SpinRite from a company called Gibson Research that does a really good job of diagnosing and repairing bad sectors on a hard drive. It's about $80, so it's the cost of a new hard drive anyway. But for us diagnostic people, we have copies and we use it all the time.
Yep.
Okay, Derek, thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, good story.
Yeah, really. All right, tell you what, folks, we got to take another quick break. But as promised, we'll be back in a few moments. And as promised, give away some more tickets so you don't want to miss out. You're listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve, and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
I'm Jennifer Lopez, and here's a sound no mother wants to hear. It's pertussis, whooping cough, and if you think it's hard to listen to for 30 seconds, imagine hearing it for weeks, even months. Imagine it coming from your baby. Pertussis is most often spread by parents, and it's potentially fatal to infants. Visit soundsofpertussis.com and ask about the adult pertussis vaccine. Because what would you do if your baby caught this from you?
Greetings, this is Mike Kincaid. Please join me for Foreground Music, Sundays 3 to 5 p.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Boy, he put some good music. Get that compliment. Let's just listen to that. All right, folks, you're back with this edition of Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dan Deary.
And I gotta
I'm used to being third.
Yeah. I know, when Nick's not here, it kind of throws this all out. Yeah, and folks, I know it's... Yeah, we got time. We'll give it some tickets away in a little bit. I'm still feeling a little generous, so you just stand by, and, you know, like I said before, we'll be giving away some more tickets. But right now, you got another news story there, Steve?
Yeah, it looks like Microsoft is going to open some retail stores, and they're planning to open them right next door to Apple stores. During a keynote speech at the Microsoft Worldwide Partner Conference 2009 in New Orleans on July 15th, Kevin Turner, Microsoft's chief operating officer, told the company's partners that Microsoft will take advantage of customer demand for Microsoft products at the retail level. Now, we've said in the past that Microsoft's customers are corporations that buy the OS to put on computers and corporations that buy their servers to put on computers. So this is the first time they're really sort of targeting consumers at the retail level. Proximity to Apple's retail outlets only serves to fuel the competition between the two of the most recognizable brands in the industry. In the All About Microsoft blog, Mary Jo Foley quotes a Microsoft spokesperson as saying, "As we progress in our retail strategy, there will be scenarios where we will have stores in proximity to Apple. We're on track to open stores in the fall timeframe. Beyond that, we have no details to share." In a statement issued when the company initially announced plans to open retail stores, Microsoft said, "Defining the time frame, locations, and specifics for planned Microsoft-branded retail stores will be the first order of business. The purpose of opening these stores is to create deeper engagement with the customers and continue to learn firsthand about what they want and how they buy." So after 30-odd years in business, Microsoft is finally going to see what the customers want. But what's Microsoft going to have at a Microsoft store? Microsoft Windows, Microsoft Office, Microsoft Mouse? That's going to be a pretty empty store.
Microsoft Keyboard.
Microsoft Keyboard, yeah. I know, will they have Xboxes or leave that to the game stores?
That's a good question, too.
Yeah. So are they going to have computers there, and then what brand of computers would they show? In fact, that was one of the big concerns about the first Laptop Hunter ads, is that the first three or four ads, they all bought HP, so we figured HP was sponsoring them. And then the last two or three, they've all been Sony's. So we're figuring the computer companies are paying Microsoft part of the money for these ads.
Well, maybe they could, you know, literally have multiple, you know, have HP, Gateway, and Dell.
How many brands do you want to have? And it's hard enough picking which Dell do I want among the 27,000 brand models that Dell makes. And then you open that up to HP and Gateway and then custom-built PCs. It's huge.
I bet they'll be trying to sell a lot of Zunes, too, to compete with all the iPods and stuff.
And probably be another big one. I mean, that's, you know, popular right now, especially for travelers.
But Microsoft doesn't make any direct money on selling Dell. They made their money when Dell bought the OS. So as a retail store, that doesn't really make much sense. How are they going to make money unless say Dell pays Microsoft to put the Dells in the store, which is a possibility.
True. They could do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But margins are so razor thin in the PC world anyway. It's hard to imagine companies wanting to do that.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Well, you know, it's like, remember, so many stores have come and gone anyways. Yep. CompUSA's, I mean, they've dried up.
Well, even the big stores. Remember, Gateway had their retail stores for a while. Yeah. And that was almost silly because they didn't actually sell computers.
No, you just come in and look at it.
You go look at them, and then they point you to a telephone where you can call up and order it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. It's now about 1:45. Let's give away another pair of tickets. If you're the 10th caller, pick up the phone and dial 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415 if you're on the outside of the Rochester area. Now remember, staff, volunteers, underwriters of Jazz 90.1, their families, and listeners that have won in the past 30 days are not eligible. Now, if you need a complete listing, you can write the station here at Jazz 90.1 Contest Rules, 1139 Maiden Lane, Rochester, New York, 14615, and get a whole listing of the rules if need be. But again, be the 10th caller and get your pair of tickets to the Soundbites birthday party on September 5th. Good luck.
And I've been checking through the iPod specifications, and it looks like every iPod has supported MP3 variable bitrate.
Hmm.
So maybe it's a weird bit rate, and that's why those listeners haven't been able to play the previous podcast. But I'm gonna re-encode it and re-upload it and see what happens.
Okay.
And find out where that variable bit rate is coming, because I checked my recording software, and it's not doing variable bit rate.
Hmm.
And all the previous podcasts have not been variable bit rate. So the only change in last week's was this MP3 trimmer. But it's not supposed to change the file at all. So we'll figure out what happened.
Do a before and after, but we're working on it. It'll be corrected, so you know, just be patient.
In the meantime, you can listen to it on your computer.
Should be listening to us live on the web.
Yeah, some people can't, so it's nice to have the podcast.
I mean, we got a lot of folks overseas, I know, in the armed services and that love when Nick gives us the stats every so often. He prints out the stats, and you can tell as a lot of folks overseas in Germany and other bases that, you know, are listening to us because they enjoy it and been listening to us for a long time. So, you know.
Oh, we didn't talk about last week's poll.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just saw that link. So last week, no, that wasn't it. Home. Last week's poll was about Soundbites 20th anniversary party. Here we are. The winner with 47% of the vote was already. Man, you guys are old. 32% said can't wait. 12% said yeah, that's nice, I guess. 9% said sound who now?
I do it with style, though.
Yeah, we may be old, but we're old. Hey, I'm not the young one here this week. All right.
Yeah.
That's right. We got Dan's a little younger than I am.
He just had a birthday party this week. A birthday. He comes in and says, I'm an old fart. It's like, give me a break, Easty. I got socks older than you, Dan.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. It's like, what, you're 27 years young?
Yep, 27.
Oh.
Remember Rob was 18 when we started with him?
I think so. What, is he 20 now?
Yeah. Something like that. Well, speaking of iPods, there was a big kerfuffle in the industry this week.
Kerfuffle.
Apple kills the Palm Pre's ability to sync with iTunes. It happened. We sort of guessed it would happen. Apple updated iTunes this week to version 8.2.1, according to the channel log, it offers a bug fixes, and it addresses an issue with the verification of Apple devices. In other words, buzz off. Palm Pre, you're not an iPod. Previous to 8.2.1, if you had a Palm Pre smartphone and plugged it into your Mac, the Mac or PC, iTunes thought it was an iPod and would then sync all of your music and your contacts and your calendars. Apparently, Palm did is they used some sort of software wizardry to trick the iTunes software into thinking the Pre was an iPod, and then they could sync to it. So now as of version 8.2.1, that no longer works. Several third-party syncing programs have come out. There's one called the Missing Sync from Markspace Software. So you can purchase a program now to sync your Palm Pre to your iTunes. Sort of a cat and mouse game, the iPhone hacking community, which every time Apple updates the iPhone software to block something that the hackers like, they release a new version of the jailbreaking software that lets you run third-party apps on it or something like that. So they say that they're going to start working on this with iTunes to let iTunes work with other third-party music players. And it's interesting because it has and does work with some third-party players already. But they've apparently been trimming those as contracts expire. When iTunes first came out, in fact, iTunes came out about a year or two before the iPod. So in the beginning, there was, the Creative Zen, there was a Nomad player, there was, you know, Sansa had a player, and those were the players you would sync with your iTunes before the iPod even existed. So now the iPod is out. There have been speculations, there's a class action suit rumbling, where people are trying to break the link between the iTunes store and iTunes software and the iPod. It used to be if you bought something on the iTunes store, it would only play in iTunes and only on an iPod. That has changed a little bit now that Apple has removed all the digital rights management from the songs, now that the record industry is finally letting them do that. So now it's just a straight AAC, you know, encoded file and will play on any type of player in any type of software. So that helps a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean the music industry, at least they're getting some money, you know, monies from there, as opposed to, you know, using like the LimeWire or the BearShare,
which is
the
illegal stuff.
Totally illegal.
And it's been an interesting issue for people who bought music at stores that don't exist anywhere. Microsoft shut down I forget what the name of their first store was that didn't even work with the Zune. When Microsoft released the Zune, it didn't work. Place for Sure. Yeah, so Microsoft had this Place for Sure program where music devices could tag themselves as Place for Sure, and you know it would work with the Microsoft Music Store. And then the Zune came out, and it wasn't Place for Sure. So they shut down the previous music store, and any music you bought from that previous music store quit working. Who was it? Walmart shut down their music store? So there's been three or four big electronic music stores that have shut down, and if you bought music from them, you're out of luck. You can't play that music anymore because the store's gone, unless you bought the right to burn it to a CD and then did burn it to a CD because it can't look to see if you bought that right anymore.
So if you didn't do that, you're more or less hosed.
Because that was a big issue if you switch players, and that's what Microsoft tried to work out with this Place for Sure. That it, you know, if you buy a different brand of player, it may not work with the music you bought from this other store. So now the industry itself has been moving away from the copy protection and away from the digital rights management. So stuff you buy at the Amazon store, stuff you buy at the iTunes store, they're all now just generic files. They don't have any copy protection on them, so they will work on any of your own devices. Mm-hmm. And the record industry is watching to see if the piracy rates are going to increase because now it will play illegally. But in general, what we've been seeing in all of the studies done by the industry, not by the RIA themselves, you know, by the regular computer industry, have shown that music sales actually increase when you have electronic and free distribution. People are buying songs they may not have heard of before because, you know, they're recommended when you buy it from the first place. You can buy songs you like. You don't have to buy a whole album. You don't have to pay $20 for an album when you only like one song on it. You can now buy that just one song by itself. And a lot of the bands that were really opposed to single song sales versus album sales are starting to realize that, the concept of an album is almost gone. You know, some of the classic albums when I was a kid, Dark Side of the Moon, the whole album was one song, basically. And nowadays, the way sort of the pop music industry has worked, you know, they write one hit song and that's pretty much the end of it, and the rest of the CD is garbage. You know, you might get two songs out of it. So it's been very hard for consumers who don't want to pay that much money for one song. And so that was one of the first arguments for the iTunes store when Apple started proposing this electronic music store. You buy a CD for $20 and there's only one song you like on it. You just paid $20 a song. So come to our store, pay $1 a song, and only get the songs you want.
Yep.
So yeah, it's worked out for the consumers in the end.
Well, hate to say it, folks, but you know, that ends another show. Again, folks, if you didn't win any tickets this week, stay tuned next week. We'll be giving away more, and all through the week, if you listen to member-supported Jazz 90.1, I know Rob's got some plans to give away more tickets then. Really appreciate the effort of Steve Ray and Dan Deary here coming in and helping us out. And again, my lovely wife, Lorraine, for answering the phones. You know, it's just gone by so fast, folks. I don't know what to say. You know, get to do it all over again next week. So this is Dave Enright for Soundbites. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.
In studio, sitting in with me, Pien.